You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to another episode of Mystery Crate. I'm Chris. I'm here with Chris, Billy, and Roy. And this week, we're going to bring you something that is a relatively new concept to Mystery Crate, which is essentially, in the podcast era of the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz, we are essentially always recording something, right?
It's always very scary.
Yeah, no, it is. But it's also, in some ways, a bit more liberating, right? Because you're not really always performing, but you kind of could be. So in some ways, you kind of capture the essence of what we are like in daily life more often. But basically, we're always recording, and at the end of it, we go, can we use that? And we have taken two such instances of something that didn't really fit into what we would call an hour of the show, and we have broken it into two parts, and we're going to air these behind-the-scenes conversations today as our episode of the Mystery Crate.
I feel like we've let you talk way too long without derailing you.
I was alarmed. I was like, wow, I'm actually going to have to finish this thought without being derailed.
Shocked.
I was waiting for the derailment.
I'm shocked.
And now the derailment was just talking about being derailed. Look at us.
Yes. How about that?
This is derailment inception. Billy, you're muted.
Yeah, I'm muted. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, you are.
It's just, my whole world right now is a little bit off, and I know this is going to date when we're doing this. This is Miguel Cabrera home run. It's
derailment.
Just going to ruin my day. And I don't know if this even came out on the podcast or if this is going to be in a later episode of what we're doing now where it's just us talking and it's being recorded. So this may make no sense to anyone because no one may have heard this yet, right? This Miguel Cabrera, we were talking earlier today, Thursday, about baseball season starting. It's opening day. And I was talking with Stu Gatz and Chris and just everyone about how Miguel Cabrera is still out there and how I almost picked him, but I couldn't pick him
in fantasy baseball.
The time of my draft. Yeah, in fantasy baseball.
And I mean, what other league is there?
I mean, I felt like they needed clarification.
Anyway, long story short, I didn't take Miguel Cabrera, and then I was going to pick him up, and I didn't pick him up. And sure enough, he hits the first home run of the season and slid into second base because it's snowing in Detroit.
Did it really?
And he thought that the ball didn't leave the stadium. So he slid into second base and then had to be told, no, 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 you hit a home run. It's just snowing on opening day. And of course, the person that I'm playing against had picked him up, I guess, right before because other games had been canceled because of weather. And it's just all working against me right now. So what were we saying? How was this intro? What are we doing here?
Well, I think what we were saying is we needed derailment. And thank you. Thank you for providing one. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Miguel Cabrera's numbers. Yeah. I can understand why he went undrafted in a fantasy league. Like, he's fallen off. Like,
but his name is Miguel Cabrera.
I know. Yeah. And people say he's the best right-handed hitter ever. And you feel like you want to have even like the slightest chance that he recaptures some form. Maybe he took some steroids and you can get him back again.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. What's that?
I mean,
he took steroids.
I mean, if he did, though, he did it in the smartest way possible. He just got a little fat while doing it.
Yes.
It hid the steroids.
Jeez. He did not take steroids.
Derailment.
I mean, Billy, you look at his head when he was a rookie.
His body.
He's a rookie.
His body.
That dude had some. There's
different.
Some Barry Bonds in the.
How did you look at 19, Chris Cody? Do we want to look at your body at 19 versus your body today?
Honestly, I might look very similar because I had a little fat stage like around 17, 18, and then I got
a
little
35 years the fat
and now
stage.
I'm back. No, I'm back. I'm telling you.
That's harsh.
I had a fatter
That's
stage.
Harsh.
And now I'm back in the fatter stage. I'm telling you, in the early 20s, I had a little sweet spot there.
But so, phage.
Chris, so you fluctuate? Like, I feel like you've, for as long as you've been on television, you've looked the same to
the
me.
Same.
Wow.
Right.
Well,
that's an insult right there,
no
man.
Didn't see my wedding photos. I've been with the show like what, 7 or 8 years now. For the last 7 or 8 years, I've been around the same thing.
Yeah.
But in my early 20s, I was like out of high school, I was like chubby, and then I got better, and then it's just been downhill from like my.
I love shredding for the wedding, Chris. where you'd make plans to go to see Izzy's trainer, and then you'd tell us how it'd get blown off because of one reason or another. And then I think with like 2 weeks left, then you started kind of doing it more regularly.
Izzy's trainer was a bit intense. I went to a few lessons with him, and then I got the gist of it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take what I've learned here, and I'm just going to go. Like, I don't need this intensity.
Wow. I'm going to do it to the point where I don't vomit.
I'm glad you brought that up because I've often thought, I'm not someone who's had a personal trainer, right? But I've often thought, you know, if I just go to like 2 months worth of training and I just take good notes, why can't I just do this on my own? Why do I need to keep going and doing the same thing? And I think part of it is because I don't have the will to do it. I'm not going to force myself to be doing
these
things.
You need the accountability.
Like, you know what?
And the motivation.
Yeah, I'm not going to peer pressure myself into doing things that I can't do.
It's much more accountability than instruction at a certain point, I would imagine. I've never had a personal trainer. I've actually never adequately learned how to work out. Like people like that do sets and like, all right, they do this and then this body group. But like, I never bothered with it. I hate it. I hate working out. I hate the treadmill. I hate ellipticals. The only thing that I like doing is playing sports, right? Like I can play soccer 7 nights a week and I'd be completely, I would never get tired of it. My body wouldn't hurt. I would enjoy it. But the act of going to the gym is the most anxious thing to me. And so I only would if someone held me accountable and taught me how.
You know, treadmills with TVs really ruined running for me, you know, because now I can't run without watching TV. I have to just be like, I need some sort of other stimulus or some sort of entertainment while I'm doing it. I can't just go for a jog.
Yeah,
the whole seeing the world doesn't do it for me anymore, world.
Well, I do occasionally do a run down the beach, which is nice enough. The television treadmill has even gotten to the point where I can't watch anything with commercials. So I will time sometimes going to the gym for big soccer matches because it's 45 minutes uninterrupted. And so like it's I work out for the 45 minutes that like the first half of Wolves and Manchester United is on.
You know, the biggest sham, like the biggest fraud of all of those machines is the bike that like looks like the bike from Guts, where you're just kind of sitting on your butt and you have like the little grips on the side and you just pedal.
That,
I could sit on that
exercise
and watch TV for hours. Like I'll go to the gym sometimes and it's like, you know what? Let me watch an hour of something and I'll just do it. And then you like look at it and it's like, oh, you burned 75 calories. And it's like, I just wasted an hour of my life.
Has anyone ever gotten shredded from working the sitting bike 6 times a week? Like, you can't.
I think that's like a baby step into like the other machines. Yeah. If I were to guess what that was designed for.
Have you ever thought about wanting to do steroids? Because I have. I feel like it would make this whole you know, losing weight thing and getting muscular thing a lot easier. It seems fun.
No.
It's like a cheat code. But like, you know, what harm am I doing?
To your body, you're doing a lot of harm. You know, reproductive system, you know, and that kind of gets affected, you know, that sort of thing. It'll be harder to have children, basically.
I just feel like, and I don't want this to seem like some sort of brag or something, I just feel like I lack the vanity necessary for taking steroids. You know, like, I feel like I lack the caring about my appearance enough
steroids. I'm generally, right. I'm with you. But, like, for 6 months... You wouldn't want to have, like, this incredibly shredded body and like the things that people actually work hard for. Like for 6 months of 6 months of my life, I would like to know what that's like. It's almost like a science experiment.
I don't feel like I would look good walking around like totally jacked and ripped.
Oh, you would.
Like I would look good. I said that wrong. Like I just feel like it doesn't fit my personality. Like I can't picture Billy. Or you, Chris. Wait, Roy of the four of us, I feel like I could picture just jacked and ripped. But like three of us, I just don't. It wouldn't fit our personalities to be like those dudes that are at the beach. That like, whoa, look at that guy.
I don't know though. But on the show, we have Secret Jacked, right? Which is basically jacked, but doesn't really fit your personality type. So I would kind of like to be Secret Jacked. You know, like I'm wearing glasses and I talk a certain way. But
then you take your shirt off.
But you take it's like, whoa, where did that come from?
I like the idea though. If you're gonna do like Secret Jacked, you need to like fully commit though, and like you need to wear like baggy clothes,
yes,
like hoodies, stuff like that for like a while, so no one can really tell that you're in the middle of this transformation. Like, I'm not gonna lie, part of me did think like when we were starting to work from home, I'm like, it'd be great if like I came back and gained like 30 pounds of muscle, and then we're like, whoa, what happened?
Yeah.
And then reality hit, and it's like, I'm not going to a gym.
That's hard.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's
or,
not going to
yeah.
happen.
Or
right
you'd
now.
Like, yeah, like everyone else bought workout equipment for home or whatever. Like.
Turned out to be 30 pounds of just fat for me.
Yeah.
Right.
Should we get to the bits that we were actually here to play? Or
yeah. You
so
know, let's, speaking of gym,
yeah, might as well.
A mystery crate that has.
Yeah. Just go ahead and play it.
Here is Amino Hassan and us just cutting it up during one of the shows, just talking shop.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at DraftKings. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odd boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DAN. New customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. How about that? $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DAN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Billy, I miss your loud drinking, and I just heard it for the first time.
Was it loud again?
Like a year. Not like loud, but just I always remember when you would chug a water bottle, like you could.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard it since March, and it brought me back to being in the studio with you.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing that anyone's ever said to me. I wish Amin's thing wasn't muted so we could see if he was chugging loud or not.
Yeah.
I wasn't. It was a very soft, meek chug.
I mean, do you switch the shoe that's next to you, or is that the shoe that you're like, this is the shoe that lives here?
This is the shoe because that's the shoe that's currently being marketed.
You're for sale, though. If you get a shoe, it's going up.
Yeah. I mean, I had this conversation with someone yesterday because I have a friend who's in the cookie business or whatever. So I posted one of those, oh, post this and you know.
Yeah. Tag six of your friends. You can win cookies for life.
And I got so many people who were like, oh, I see you'll do some stuff for some people. I was like, I'll do it for anybody. If you send me free shit, I will do it. No secrets there.
Where's the line?
There's no line.
There's no line.
There is no line.
Let's say someone sends to you something to clean out your nose, like one of those things that you shoot water up your nose.
Navage? The Navage?
You would. I don't know what it's called. You would do that.
Oh, it's called Navage. Absolutely. In a heartbeat. I'm waiting for someone to give it to me for free.
What about like hemorrhoid cream?
I've had hemorrhoids before. A hemorrhoid cream would be much, much appreciated.
Would you do it for, God, what's like?
A colonoscopy? Is that what you're asking? Like, would I do it for a colonoscopy? You know what? I've never had a colonoscopy. I might like it.
I was thinking more like
get on that.
Like a home catheter or something.
Anything up the hole, I kind of get skittish about.
We should do a mystery crate where you record your entire process of getting a colonoscopy, and we play it as a mystery.
I thought you were going to say, we give you products, and then you pitch them. Because I could pitch anything. I could pitch anything.
You could pitch anything.
Anything.
Just pick something up and pitch it around you.
So these little tangerine things, I love them because they peel so easy. Look at this, guys. I'm not using any sort of special peeling technology or tools. Just my thumb and boom. Look at that. Right, wow. Wide open. And the great thing about this, it's like a little game sometimes. You try to see if you can peel the whole
orange. Don't do it yet. I saw this trick online. I want to see if you do it, if it's real. So this is what they say you do. You cut off the top and you cut off the bottom and then you do a slice and supposedly it just unwinds and it like rolls out and it's just all the little orange slices stuck on the whatever it is, the outside of the orange. What is that called?
The rind.
Billy, the problem with that is your method requires some tools, yeah. Some specialized equipment. This right here, all you need is a thumb, little bit of pressure right there, indentation, bang. It peels right off and hey. Have I tasted anything as juicy and as sweet as this? Not since yesterday when I had one of these.
He just did the cooking show trick where he started the process, set it down, and then he had the finished product in his hands.
He opened the oven. We have it ready right here.
Oh, here it is. A perfectly peeled orange. I had one of those things, like 2 nights ago. It wasn't last night. It was the night before where I woke up at God, it was like 4:30 in the morning or something. I don't know why. I just woke up. So I went on and I was like on my phone, like going through Instagram stories. And one of those like ads came up and it's like 36 things on products that you use every day that you don't know what they're for. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to learn like what this indentation in like a gallon of milk is for. I'm about to learn all of these things. That's where I learned that orange trick. But I was learning all these things, or I was about to learn all these things, right? And then when I was like 14 of them in, my wife turned to me and she's like, can you turn off your phone? It's really bright. Like, it's waking me up. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Whatever. So I turn it off. And then like an hour and a half later or so, I wake up again and I'm like, let me get back on this list. Let me see where I was at, right? So I go to like my internet button or Safari, whatever it is on your phone, and it's not there. And I'm like, oh my God. So I go to Instagram and it's not there. And I lost it forever because it was one of those ads. So then once I exited it, it was gone. So now there's 16 to 20 things out there on everyday products that I'll never know what they were for.
I enjoy screen grabbing the ads when I find them particularly funny.
Sometimes I text them to myself. I click share, message, send it to myself. My text message history with myself. Do you guys text yourself things?
Yeah, I do.
My text message history to myself is filled with unopened links. That's pretty much all it is. It's like reminders like get this sound for the show or get this or remember to do that and a bunch of links that I never actually go back and click on.
Oh, I fell apart at the end. It's one little piece. But see the rest of that? It's one peel. Look at that. I'm telling you, you can't do this with just any orange. These Tangelos, tangerines, whatever the hell they're called, amazing. And the best part, they're seedless. So you don't have to stop and like spit stuff out. Nope.
Do you hate the feeling of biting into an orange and getting a mouthful of seeds? Do you hate oranges that you can't easily peel?
It's got to be in black and white.
Clementines, by the way. Clementines.
Yeah. Zoomed in on the hands and like slow motion. And then you're like, whoo. And you're like, you, into the orange. Yeah. And then it goes all over the place. It explodes.
Because you got the seed. Oh. They always have to be a little challenged when it comes.
Yeah.
And when they're trying to peel, it's just like.
Oh, and then so you think it's like an orange commercial, and then you feel like just this wrist pain, and then they're sending you like a wrist guard also. It's like multiple things. Oh,
using dangerous tools to try and peel that orange. Oh,
are your spoons too sharp?
Billy, did you know that the spaghetti scooper has a hole in it at the end of the handle? And that hole is supposed to be where you put the raw spaghetti in to know how much is one serving. That should be on that list.
Is that true? Yeah.
That's true.
I'm not a big spaghetti guy.
What? Who doesn't like spaghetti?
I'm with Billy on this. I like the small pasta. I like short pastas. I don't like the long spaghetti.
You don't like the twirling around the fork, making a little tornado of spaghetti? And then you get a whole big ass. Oh, no, come on. That's the best.
I'm seeing right here one of those things. You put in a whole spoon. I mean, but that's like, that's up to each individual person, right? Because if I'm feeding like a family of four, then that spoon doesn't hold enough.
What? No, well, I mean, you know how many servings, though. If you have four people.
That's a serving.
Yeah.
Mmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, look at this, guys. This is a good peel here.
Are we rolling on this? This is some good tent.
Tent?
That's what I call content. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think this is going to go anywhere.
This clementine right here. Oh, yeah.
Clementine. How many different variations of those little oranges are there? There's clementine, there's Valencia oranges, or the little ones too, right?
That behold, look, if I fold it up, it looks like.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a friend whose daughter's name is Clementine.
Yeah.
Why? I'm going to tell you right now, Chris, my whole life, I knew that my children would not be named names that would be easy to be made fun of on a playground. Mm-hmm. Clementine, nicknamed Clemmy. Clammy hands, clammy hands, clammy hands. The kids will do that.
So in the name decision process, you were like, how many ways can I make fun of this name so that no child can come up with this insult?
Yes, I've readied my children.
So Penis Alhassan isn't one of your kids' names?
No. No, not yet.
I feel like this conversation is annoying Roy and Chris Whittingham, and no one else can hear it.
Anyone who wears glasses doesn't like this conversation except for Billy.
Well,
I'm just enjoying my oatmeal. That's all I'm doing.
Imagine a mean if I had like just this massive swerve where I take off my glasses. I'm like, these have been fake the whole time. I never needed them.
Have you seen this picture of Zooey Deschanel?
Are her glasses fake?
Without her glasses on. She looks like a completely different person.
Remember when they were trying to make her a thing and she would show up at like every All-Star game for everything and sing the national anthem or God Bless America?
That's the same person. And the caption says, seeing Zooey Deschanel without bangs and glasses makes me accept that maybe people couldn't figure out that Clark Kent was Superman.
When did she go without bangs and glasses? It looks like a Met Gala.
Yeah.
She's an elf, right? That's the one we're talking about?
Yeah.
She's the one in New Girl. I just know her from New Girl.
Oh, no. She wasn't an elf. Was she an elf?
No, she's a girl in New Girl.
No, yeah. She's in.
And also 500 Days of Summer or whatever, right?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she was blonde though, right?
She's his love interest in Elf.
Wait, she's not quirky though. She had a role where she wasn't quirky.
She was kind of the straight person, kind of like because he was Elf and she ended up dating him.
So. She was like the good-hearted person that's talented, that worked in retail, that was fed up with it, but
who sits alone in her house on Christmas Eve, just like eating like oatmeal and like watching the news.
Oatmeal.
She was eating something. Maybe it was
I'm not an oatmeal person.
Ice cream.
Oatmeal guy.
Have you never seen a rom-com, Chris?
Yeah, I was eating oatmeal right now. I'm not a big oatmeal guy.
See, the instant oatmeal, not healthy at all. Tastes great. Quakers, little maple brown and sugar, or maple and brown sugar, little apple and cinnamon.
I made this oatmeal with cinnamon, applesauce, and nutmeg, a little sugar.
Wait, do you have steel-cut oats?
No,
are they steel-cut?
No, these are quick one-minute oats.
Look at where we ended up, huh? Just talking about oranges.
And that's how you sell oranges, guys.
It's the best-tasting fruit.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, it is.
And by the way, it's also the cleanest fruit. I don't have to worry about it. I hate apples.
It's not clean. It's not clean, dude.
No, clean in the sense that, like, I don't have to wash it.
Yeah.
Peel it,
okay.
Eat it.
Yes.
Ah, wash the apple.
But you got to wash your hands after. It's not clean.
I like
sticky.
The smell.
Yeah, but it's sticky.
No, it's not that sticky. If you eat these clementines, they're not sticky. That's the best part. The juice does not explode until you put it in your mouth.
A banana's easier to eat.
Mangoes are good. Mangoes do taste good.
No, but mangoes, too much seed. Most of the mango is seed. I don't want to be sitting here gnawing on a big old seed.
Beed.
No, and bananas get mushy.
No. Bananas
you
overrated.
Sit on a banana, it's a wrap.
They're good in a smoothie, but by itself.
Turns black. That
a banana needs black. A friend. A banana needs a friend.
A little cut up banana with some
a little
strawberries.
A little peanut butter, some strawberries.
Nah.
I like a good cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe's good.
But I only have cantaloupe when it's in the fruit salad.
In the hotel where they have the big old bowl. Yeah.
Love it. And you just go and you grab,
pineapple.
Nobody likes a honeydew.
Mm. I love a honeydew.
That's the green, right?
Yes, that's the green.
Oh, I love it.
Get that out of my fruit bowl. Get that out of my
fruit bowl. Bunsen honeydew, man. Come on.
It's
a
always just the green and that orange thing that looks like honeydew. Those things are always
melon
just at the end.
Oh, that's a cantaloupe.
Oh, is that the cantaloupe? I like all of them. I like all of them.
But that's the last thing. When you're about done with your fruit bowl, the last thing left is the honeydew and the melon.
No, you're doing it wrong. No. If you don't like it, Chris, you got to subsidize it. You eat it with something that you really like so the flavors all mash up. If you wait to the end, now you got a tough.
I don't mix my fruit.
Really?
It's a smoothie.
Wow. Like, why not?
A fruit bowl. Like in a fruit bowl, I'm eating individual. Let me get a grape. Then
why?
Get a pineapple. I'm not mixing.
Segregation is Chris.
Jinx.
Jim Crow.
Jinx.
Jim Crow Chris over here.
I like a good pineapple, but they're too much work. If they're already cut up for me, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna prepare a pineapple.
I'm not preparing pineapple or any of these melons. They better be done for me.
I prepared a pineapple. There is so little actual pineapple when you cut that thing.
That's the thing.
You get like 8 little squares after you cut an entire pineapple.
I think they know that these things are very difficult to deal with. That's why they charge you a crazy amount. Like, if you go to like a grocery store and you buy a sliced watermelon, it's like really expensive compared to buying an actual watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 4 to 5 times as much watermelon for the same price.
You're paying for the slicing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're paying for the labor. It's the labor.
For the labor,
Pay for that every time.
You could fix your own car too, Billy. It'd be a lot cheaper. Just buy the parts and fix it.
Yeah,
right?
But
you
don't know. I can't fix a car. I can cut a watermelon.
You can cut a watermelon?
Not as well as they can.
Not as well as they can, exactly.
Well, let me rephrase that. My wife is good at cutting watermelons because there's times that I just have like a giant watermelon in the fridge. And it's like, she wanted watermelon. She was,
And you just buy the whole one.
Well, because I see the price is insane. It's like $8 for like 5 little slices of watermelon, or the whole watermelon is like $4 for like 10 pounds. I'm like, let's get that. But what happens is a lot of it ends up going to waste, because how much watermelon can you eat in like a short amount of time?
Here, honey, I got you more work to do.
She's like, can I get you?
Love, Billy.
Oh, I'd love some watermelon. Like, oh, here you go. Oh, I misunderstood. Whoops.
Oopsie daisy. Freeze the watermelon.
Freeze?
Can you?
Yeah. You could.
Oh, like the, yeah. That's how we would get sometimes. I started figuring out, or I wanted to perfect like the Disney like orange Dole Whip that they do. And one of the ingredients is pineapple. And they had them frozen, so we'd get frozen watermelon and just keep them in the freezer. It's way too complicated. I'm looking at the process here of cutting open a pineapple. It's way too much. I couldn't do that.
I'm telling you, That's why you pay the money. You pay them the big bucks to give you ready-made pineapple.
Diced onions, diced tomatoes. Everything's pre-diced. For
oh, me. Man. They do diced tomatoes now?
Oh, at Publix? Oh, man, everything. You can buy everything diced.
No, they don't. A tomato? You can't cut a tomato.
I'm just saying, you guys have never seen the little, like, square package of cut tomatoes? Like, it's...
I can dice tomatoes. I can't slice tomatoes. You know how, like, they slice them for a sandwich?
It's tough to get the same size, yeah.
No, not even the same size. Either they're this thick or, like, they're paper thin and they fall apart before...
That's what I mean. So, like, to say it's tough to get them formula.
Explain this to me. I don't like sliced tomatoes. I don't like tomatoes on my sandwiches.
Ketchup.
Love ketchup. Love pizza. Love tomato sauce on things, but I don't like tomatoes.
You're like a child.
Yeah, I am. I'm a child.
Have you guys ever tried eating any of this, like, the vegan food? Like, the or not vegan. The vegetarian, the fake beef and all that?
I'm interested. I'm intrigued by it.
I'm going to say this.
Friday.
Yeah? What kind?
I had an Impossible Whopper Friday.
How was it?
Well, if they're sponsors, it was great, but, you know, if not,
this is an honor. We're not recording?
Well, these things just appear, and, you know, you think you're saying something privately, and then it's like, oh, hey, look, I took a shot at Oregon for some reason.
Right. Yeah.
It was okay. It wasn't bad. I mean, considering that it was...
I think it was bad. He's worried this is going to make air.
No. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't a Whopper. I mean, a Whopper's a Whopper.
I'm going to tell you right now, the ground beef version of all of Impossible and Beyond Beef is much better than a patty. I had the ground beef yesterday with as tacos. It tasted great. The only problem is the next morning, I don't know if you guys are like me, but boy.
Right through you?
Oh, my God. With a symphony. Huh. Just pop, 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 pop.
I bet you it was pleasurable.
It did come out easy. Like, it
That's
wasn't
what I'm saying.
Like,
see, we're going to have this debate again.
No, we're not.
Diarrhea,
no,
while it's not something
it was,
you want
no,
all the time.
It wasn't diarrhea. It wasn't diarrhea. It was just loose stool.
Man. There's nothing like sitting on that toilet and everything just flying out of you without even noticing. You don't even feel a thing.
There's definitely a satisfaction out of a loose stool. But diarrhea is not loose stool. Diarrhea is when it's water. And that's the worst because, first of all, it never stops. And second of all, the sound, it just sounds like someone
like
with a water gun.
Like you're peeing.
Yeah.
Chris likes diarrhea. I was just half listening.
I don't find it as, I just don't
Chris
think
is
it's
pro diarrhea.
It's not a terrible experience. It cleans you out. It's not painful generally. Yeah, I'm kind of regretting the whole diarrhea take that I've established and I've planted my flag in. It's one of the weirdest things I've planted my flag in.
yeah, you planted your flag in the shit, yeah.
I think I'm gonna back off that take a little bit now. Like,
there are moments where it is relief.
Thank you, Chris. But, you know what, I'm back. Diarrhea is good.
But for the most part, it is a signal that things have gone wrong.
Yes, that's fair.
Right.
But I can understand, like, sometimes vomiting is a relief, right?
It's like the that post vomit feeling.
Great, I great completely feeling. Agree. But you vomited.
Like, is there a small portion of the while vomiting? Is there any joy in the act of vomiting? There's sometimes where it just feels good coming out.
Well, for me, it's like the overriding feeling of, all right, this feeling is gone, of needing to vomit. Because you start by needing to. And then, there's like a tiny bit of like this out of body experience that you have where you go, wow, everything that was inside of me is just gone now.
Yes.
Like, I'm completely empty after all of this. And like, I'm seeing myself excavating everything that was inside of my intestine.
Do you guys ever look at yourself in the mirror after you puke and it's just like your eyes are red? Yes. You look like you're as red as you could be. It's like you've seen a ghost.
Yeah.
But there's just something about that where I'm just like, look at you. There was nothing holding you back there.
The cleanup afterwards is the worst part.
I usually try to go in the toilet, Roy. It's usually
there's shrapnel. It's not a clean experience.
Got to brush the teeth right away after.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, let's get to the other segment because this one was even better, Roy. I don't know if you remember this because, like I said, you
don't
know when you're on air. This was you and Stu Gatz playing this NBA looks like game. Oh, no, I'm sorry. And Amin. You, Amin, and Stu Gatz. And Roy, you are so... I want everyone to pay attention when they're listening to this next segment, how happy Roy is during this segment. I honestly didn't understand half the references because you guys went into the 80s and 90s with a lot of this stuff. But you are so happy, Roy, in this next segment.
You need to incentivize them more, Chris.
overstating that.
Pay attention to this, because at the end, Chris is going to ask you three questions. And if you get them right, and you're the first person to reach out to Chris on Twitter with the right answers, he's going to send you a special prize. Now you need to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. You got a prize? You got something to give these people?
I'm going
to
need a disclaimer. Nothing that Billy said is true. Don't think anything he said will actually happen.
This is like when Dan says, well, I hope I'm not betraying any confidences, but it's like before you even ask, you've got a prize ready to go.
How hard is that? Send him something.
It's pretty hard. It's different.
Chris will send you the shirt off his back. What shirt are you wearing? It's a shirt with the planets that look like lollipops or balloons.
Going on.
I can't tell. Wow, you're wearing a shirt of the painting behind you.
No, it's not. It's a different shirt. It just happened.
It's in common.
It's like you can tell I have a style of things I like.
Do you like balloons?
Do you have a different piece of art for every shirt that you wear every day to make sure it matches?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I do. This is a visual thing that won't work for anybody.
No, it won't. No.
It'll work for the person that sends you the answers, because you're not just going to send them that shirt, also the painting.
Hey, here's a mean Stugatz, Roy, and us playing a really fun game.
Muggsy Bogues got caught with the murder weapon. And so they bring in Cormier and said, this guy can't afford Cormier. He's like, I'm doing it pro bono. I'm a fan of the Constitution.
I think the way to do it is you have to look up famous action stars, like their titles, and then work from there.
No. You just give me athlete names. I'll tell you who they are.
Okay. Hold on.
I'm trying to think of good names, though.
Tom Candiotti.
Tom Candiotti.
The Candyman.
No, he's the commissioner. Commissioner Candiotti. I was going to say Luka Doncic is the head of the Serbian mob, and that's like the big rival for
All right, let's try this out. I'm going to pick a random NBA team, okay, and go down the roster, and you tell me what they do for a living.
Okay.
Marvin Bagley III.
Marvin Bagley III is a rich debutante kind of socialite. He doesn't really work. He's accused of murder because there was a party at his house and a girl ends up dead in his bedroom. But he had nothing to do with it. But everybody thinks that he did it because he's a party guy, a playboy, and been known to have kind of like some weird S&M parties at his house.
All right. So the third just suggests that he's rich, that he's for money, that he had a big party at a house where someone was murdered and he was blamed for it because he was hosting the party.
And his father usually cleans up his messes. That's why he's never gotten in trouble. His father's very well connected at City Hall.
All right. Harrison Barnes.
Harrison Barnes is the mayor. The mayor of the town, Mayor Barnes, he's running for re-election. He's in with the Bagley family, and this is just coming at the wrong time, right in the middle of a heated election. The first time he's been like a four-term mayor. This is the closest it's ever been, and this is not the story he needs right now. But Marvin Bagley II is letting him know, look, you need to make this go away. My boy needs to walk.
All right, Fat Lever.
Go ahead, Fat Lever.
Fat Lever. Fat Lever works in the motor pool. He's like a cop. He was once a highly decorated cop, and then he crossed the Bagley family the wrong way, and so he got demoted. Now you work in motor pool. No one's ever heard from him again, but this is where, who is our Kurt Russell character?
Jack Leiter.
Yeah, Jack Leiter. Yeah. Jack Leiter goes to see Fat Lever because he needs to know everything about this case. Like, okay, tell me what happened. And Fat Lever looks at it as a kid. Learn from me. You don't want any parts. Just walk away.
Roy, were you putting fat in the mafia? Is that what you were doing, though?
I think I was. Yeah.
No, I got Fat Lever. Fat Lever was a cop, but like he crossed the Bagley family, and now he's just somewhere working down low.
All right, Mo Harkless.
Mo Harkless is a confidential informant. He's a CI, right? Like, he's part of the mob, but like he got caught, and they dropped some charges on him. If he just would kind of like give him information. And every time they run up on Mo Harkless, he's really annoyed. You guys can't keep running up on me like this. You put my life in danger. If they see me with you guys, they're going to be like, Jack Leiter, just shut up and get in the back. And now he's sitting in the back seat of Jack Leiter's like 87 Caprice. And he's kind of sitting low, and he's giving him all the scoop about the Bagleys, like this is what they're up to. And say, how do you know? Man, I don't know. You ask me a question, I'm just answering. That's Mo Harkless.
Is Jeff Hornacek working with Daniel Cormier?
He's the other guy. He's the other lawyer in the firm.
Tie it back Cormier to Bagley, though. Tie Hornacek back to Bagley.
Hornacek is the family lawyer, but he doesn't really have any kind of like criminal defense experience. So he's just there. He's there as an advisor to the elder Bagley. Yeah, exactly. Consigliere. Yeah, he's like, what's my man's Dreyfus in
Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall. That's right. Yeah.
Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah, Rashawn Holmes is a reformed gangbanger who now runs like the community center to give these kids in the neighborhood a second chance at life, right? One that they don't have to make the mistakes that he made. But Bagley keeps bringing in kind of like the drugs into the neighborhood, because that's what the Bagley fortune is built on. It's actually a drug family. And so Holmes knows that the Bagleys are responsible for the neighborhood blight, and hiring one of the kids that, you know, he took under his wing and mentored. And then the kid turns out he hasn't shown up to the community center for a few days. And Rashawn Holmes is like, where'd he go? He's like, oh, he's out there slanging them things again for the Bagleys.
Judd Bushler.
Judd Bushler's a cop. He's an asshole cop.
Yes.
He's the guy that tells Jack Leiter. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's just out there giving Jack Leiter a hard time. And when Jack Leiter gets taken off the case, Judd Bushler's like, time for my time to shine. That's when he walks in. Let the professionals do this, handle this, right?
I like this kid.
Yeah, Judd Bushler in the locker room gets into a fight with Jack Leiter because he says, oh, you just mad because you ain't your daddy, or your daddy's not here to save you, or something like that. He mentions his daddy, and Jack Leiter loses it because he doesn't like when people bring up his father. So they start fighting right there in the locker room. They got to be separated. And Judd Bushler's like, you're going to be off the force in no time. And he walks away like, oh, shit, everyone hates that guy.
This movie's kind of like Top Gun.
It's a little Top Gun. It's really a little Action, Roy. Jackson. Yes. It's a little Tango and Cash.
But who wins that fight? Like, who's winning the fight? Who? Bushler wins. Bushler wins the war, but Jack Leiter wins the fight.
No. Jack Leiter wins the war because at the end of the movie, Jack Leiter's is proven right, and he saves the day. Bushler's not corrupt. He's not a dirty cop. He's just like an asshole who's kind of the arch nemesis in the police department of Jack Leiter.
And then they shake hands at the end.
Yeah, at the end, that's right. When it turns out that, that's right. When Leiter proves to be proven right, his only ally becomes Bushler. It's like, I always hated you, but like, it was never personal. Now I see, you know, you're onto something. And so now he's on his side. That's right.
What happens to Bagley, though?
Save some of this good stuff for Dan, you know what I mean? What is this game?
Oh,
I
Bill
know
Simmons.
It started with Jack Leiter, and then I started reading something. I came back, and Stu Gatz is just throwing random NBA players at you.
It's
I
a
think,
game
right?
like Olden Polynice.
No, it's a game that you would love, Billy. Actually, and what Amin asked me to do it was by request. He said, "Just throw a team at me. Give me the roster. I'll tell you what they do for a living." And so that's we really weren't doing anything, Bill. I could have left a half hour ago. We were just. around.
This isn't even being recorded.
I really don't think it is. They're editing.
It is being recorded.
Take it out.
So, Gatz, who else is on that Kings roster?
I'm sorry. I left out Chris Silva and Hassan Whiteside.
Chris Silva is the kid I told you earlier that Rashawn Holmes is asking about. Where's Chris? And then, like, oh, yeah, he's back out on the block. It's those damn Bagleys that corrupted him.
Right.
Those damn Bagleys.
Hassan Whiteside owns the local grocery store that's being squeezed by Connor McDavid's gang for protection money.
What are the Bagleys like, doing, though?
The Bagleys are more kind of like a high-level corruption, drug money laundering thing. The McDavid gang is kind of more on the street, hands-on. They act as a kind of a conduit, so the money that the Bagleys get comes from drugs that they sell to the McDavid gang and also the Doncic gang, because they're on top of everything. The Bagleys are controlling everything in town. And so the Doncic, the Serbian gang, and then also the Irish gang led by McDavid, they're both getting their drugs from the same source, but they're embroiled in a bitter gang turf war.
Michael Cage.
Oh, wow.
Michael Cage is the captain. The police
the captain. Yeah.
That's who Jack Leiter calls Cap all the time. Come on, Cap. My hands are tied on this one, Leiter. You know, Michael Cage served with Al Leiter. They were partners on the beat.
Is he anything like the captain on 48 Hours? Where you're 48 just
Hours, yelling? Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of yelling, but there's also a tenderness underneath, right?
So Cage went on to bigger and better things, and what happened?
Well, no, because Al died. Oh, Al died protecting Cage, right? And that's why, like, Cage is always, like, kind of looking out for Jack Leiter because he feels like a parental father figure, mm-hmm. but also he always lets him know, like, your father would... You know, at the end,
I'd be disappointed.
At the end of the movie, your father would be proud of you. Like,
Michael Cage.
Yeah, that's a good name. That's a good folder.
Well, Roy's back in the 80s. It's always a better folder.
It's a funny name, though. Michael Cage.
It's a great name.
It's an action movie name.
It is. Right? It's also a funny visual. The Jerry Curl.
The Jerry Curl cop, right? Jerry Curl captain.
Yeah.
Cap, come on, Cap. You're killing me.
Wait a minute. It's like you have like so-and-so is back as Michael Cage, right?
and Danny Glover as Michael Cage. Captain Cage.
The captain.
Lance Reddick as Captain Cage.
Riddick's a good one, actually. Riddick Bowe.
Riddick Bowe. Riddick Bowe is the star athlete in town who's secretly on drugs. So he's like the star quarterback. Bo with another touchdown pass and like, is he the college quarterback and he's on the take? Yeah, Riddick Bo's the college quarterback. He's on the take. He's shaves point points. Yeah, he's point shaving.
He's point shaving.
Yeah.
Funny. Billy, we're playing the game again, by the way.
Bo Outlaw.
Watching someone explain to me what the map, what the world really looks like if maps were accurate.
What would it look like?
It looks about the same, except you're just kind of repositioning where things are.
Right. Okay.
Got it. Well, thanks. Apparently,
South America is 9 times larger than Greenland. Did you guys know that?
I feel like I did know that.
Right.
Not if you looked at maps. So, no. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
If I looked at a map, are you suggesting that Greenland looks bigger on a map than South America?
Well, it looks huge. I'm looking at it right now.
Let me see.
Oh, she's taking out the map that she created in the 70s. Yeah.
Oh, you're right about it. Yeah, you're right about Greenland, Billy. It does look a lot bigger than South America. It looks bigger than Russia.
I feel like that's one of those videos like the lady explaining Monster Energy drink being like the drink of the devil or something.
Is it?
She says that those three monsters represent like the 666 thing and three-headed...
Juju, I just saw your... Juju said they call Frank Hoiberg of Hoiberg and Hoiberg. That's absolutely a law firm. Hoiberg and Hoiberg.
Who was the other attorney, though? Because you have to have like different last names.
It's Hoiberg and Hoiberg. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, but who was your first? Who was your first attorney, though? The last name.
Oh, it was Cormier.
So I like Hoiberg and Cormier, right? Something like that.
Yeah, well, Cormier is the high-powered defense attorney who represents all the big crime bosses and all that stuff, right?
Okay, right.
Hoiberg is the storefront lawyer who represents the people, right? When these poor people get railroaded and sent to prison. With really long jail times to protect the rich people, and you know, Hoiberg's like, I'm here in this community because I believe in people and I believe in standing up for the underdog, but he's also way overmatched and outgunned and he's got no money, and his paralegal just quit. He couldn't afford to pay the paralegal,
and Frank Vogel is just trying to make partner.
Yeah.
Vogel's staying. Yeah, it's like, I'll stay.
But Vogel can also be a cop, right? Like, I can also see Vogel as a motorcycle.
Frank Vogel?
Cop.
Yeah. Frank
Danny Vogel, Manning.
Danny Manning. Ooh, that's a good one.
God, Roy loves this game. We have found Roy. We have found a game that Roy loves.
Danny Manning is on the team with Riddick Bowe. He's the wide receiver. And Danny Manning is the first one on the team who realizes something is wrong. right? Because I was wide open. He's never missed me wide open on a slant. And you all right? And Bo, yeah, I'm fine. But he knows something's wrong. And then afterward, Danny Manning catches Bo getting the envelope. Says, what was all that about? Thought we were brothers, man. That's what he said.
Supposed to be part of the team, man.
Yeah.
Canada, not as big as you thought.
Canada looks the biggest, though, Bill.
It looks the biggest.
Yeah,
as opposed to Russia. As opposed to Russia.
Canada looks bigger than Russia on the map I'm looking at.
No, go to Ray Allen's Instagram. He has this on there.
Okay.
Why isn't his Instagram just Ray Allen? Why do I have to like tray for? I have to figure out how to spell it. Is it T-R-A-Y, T-R-E-Y?
T-R-A-Y.
Yeah.
Blue Edwards.
It's called the World Mountain Blue Edwards.
He's got to be in
Blue
the mafia.
Blue Edwards. Yeah. Blue Edwards. I kind of have Blue Edwards as being an old timer sitting at the bar. He remembers when this neighborhood, you could leave your door open at night. Now, like with all the drugs and crime, ain't the same. And he's got like an open tab, but he never actually pays for any drinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there any young people named Blue?
Blue Ivy.
That ended quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the game's over.
Who's Blue Ivy?
That's Beyonce and Sean Carter's daughter.
What was that, Roy?
Well, Beyonce and Sean Carter.
I mean, you that's made a very the point couple, to not say Jay-Z.
Well, yeah, I mean, her name's Blue Ivy Carter, isn't it?
It is.
The actual names of the people.
Not Blue Ivy Z?
No, not Blue Ivy Z. You're the person that likes to call the actor by the character's name, aren't you?
No, I think any person in that instant would say that's Beyonce and Jay-Z's daughter.
No, not everybody.
No,
you think
the majority of people would do what you did?
Now you're saying a majority. I would say probably a minority of people would do what I did. Yeah, sure.
I would say that there's no one else on the planet that would do what you just did.
I would say no. That's his government name. His mama named him Sean. I'm going to call him Sean.
Yeah, no, but like you're not walking around saying, did you see what Calvin Brodus did? Like, no, you're not.
Yes, I would. Calvin Brodus is currently on the witness stand.
Well, does it depend on the scenario? If he's performing, you'd say Snoop, but because he's on the witness stand, you call him Calvin Brodus?
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen. So Snoop Dogg on a stage, but Snoop when he's being Dogg, tried for murder.
But also, Snoop Dogg isn't a father. Calvin Brodus is. Right?
Right.
Because we said Jay-Z. You didn't say Jay-Z. You said Sean Carter.
But right. He's Coach Snoop. So when he's a coach, who is he? It's not Coach Calvin.
So what do you do with like Roger Clemens? If he's pitching, he's the Rocket. If he's on trial for steroids, he's Roger? Like,
the name on the back of the jersey is Clemens, except when he was a Yankee. There was no names on the back of the jersey.
No name on the jersey, yeah.
But still, yeah. Home games when he was a Red Sox. But yeah, the name on the back of the jersey is Clemens.
Roger Clemens is a bad example because Roy would call him William Clemens because his first name's William.
You're right. Sorry, Bill.
I didn't know his first name was William, so, you know, I would have called him Roger. But if I had found that at the time, I probably would have called him Billy. Who knows? I don't know.
Billy Clemens is not good. Billy Clemens is not a Hall of Famer, but neither is Roger Clemens. So,
but, yeah, that's true.
But the Rocket.
Rocket's first ballot, yeah.
I actually like Billy Clemens.
Billy Clemens is the young cop, uniform cop, and he's it's his first time on the beat, and he's really green, like he's shaking when he's holding the gun, and Jack Leiter's telling him that Billy just put the gun down and let me talk to you. Like, I don't know.
Billy Clemens makes a mistake as a cop, as a young cop, changes the course of history in the movie.
That's like a Die Hard with a Vengeance when Samuel L. Jackson was trying to answer the phone in the subway. The cop was shaking.
Exactly. The cop was scared. He's like, no, I got to talk to him. There are people are going to die, right? That was because you had to talk to the terrorist who was calling random payphones.
Yep.
What a great movie.
Definitely better than Die Hard 2.
I don't remember. It was Die Harder, right? That was Die Harder,
2? Yeah.
Yeah, Die Hard 2, Die Harder. Yeah.
You guys remember the movie Phone Booth?
I love that. Yeah.
Colin Farrell, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that did not age well, just in terms of technology, right?
Phone booth? Yeah, no.
Yeah, like you can't watch it now and be like, this is normal.
But the funny thing was, it was made at a time where phone booths were already
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like Die Hard with a Vengeance where it was like, hey, everyone was on payphones back then.
Mm-hmm.
Phone Booth was good, man. I remember liking that movie.
Best movie scene involving a phone booth.
Anchorman. Phone booth. Anchorman. I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Dumb and Dumber.
With a phone booth?
The guy that ends up choking, he ends up like punching a guy through a phone booth.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd good say, fellas. Yeah.
I'd say
good fellas where he's hitting the phone against the...
Yep.
Bill and Ted's whole thing was a phone.
The entire
it's not fantastic. A scene. Yeah, it doesn't count.
I think I'm going to end it with Superman.
The Blues Brothers. Well, you probably
that's
didn't.
A good one.
Superman, I mean, he goes in as a reporter. He comes out as the baddest man on the planet. I mean, come on.
But why does he since he spins super fast, why does he have to go into a phone booth to do that? He could do that in the middle of the street.
No,
not, and phone booths are see-through, so it's not like it's like he
also do that in a bathroom.
That's where his outfit is being stored, though.
He goes, you guys don't get it.
No. The outfit's under the shirt.
It's under that's the shirt.
You guys don't get it.
The outfit is the shirt.
Yeah, so dumb.
You guys don't get it.
Yeah, you don't understand.
Yeah, he's always wearing the Superman thing. It's his name.
You go in as Billy Clements, you come out as the Rocket.
Does he wash it?
Yeah, exactly.
Good point, Bill.
Clark Kent is the costume Superman wears.
Does he wash it?
Oh, I see what you're saying there, Mike. Yeah. Like the default is Superman in his Superman outfit, and the disguise is Clark Kent.
That's right. Yes.
Right, mm-hmm. But you guys understand what Billy's saying, though. You go in as Pete Rose, you come out as Charlie Hustle. You know,
yeah,
that's right. Yes, exactly. Yes.
The Hit King.
You go in as Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you come out as the Greek Freak.
The Hit King.
You do get the game.
You go in as Rain Gretzky, you come out as the great,
as the great,
great
one. Yeah.
Exactly.
You go in as Mike Bossy, you come out as the boss.
Yeah. You go in as Bruce Springsteen, you come out as the boss.
As the boss.
Billy goes in as Guillermo, comes out as the Duke. Yeah,
some people go in as Sean Carter, they come out as Jay-Z. Roy has the
that
other
is exactly.
Jay-Z
exactly.
went in the phone booth, came out as Sean Carter.
Yeah, he came out as a father. Yes, exactly.
Don Carter, huh, Roy?
Did you just say Don Carter?
I thought he did too, the bowler. No. Don Carter.
No, it was Zoom coming
unbelievable.
Out.
No, he zoomed out. Yes, his mom named him Sean. I'm going to call him Sean. How about that?
What I love about you, Roy, is that you get entrenched in a stance, and there's just nothing anyone can do to take you out of it. Like, you're like, I called him Sean Carter, so I am just going to tell everyone that that is what I always call him, when I'm sure you call him Jay-Z all the time. Mm-hmm.
The mofo's name is Sean Carter,
yeah,
right?
Deal
with it.
Okay.
Yes.
I got to tell you.
That's the man's name.
I want to back Roy on this one.
Thank you.
I am a huge fan of calling people who go under pen names or nom de plumes by some other, like their actual goddamn name.
Nom de plumes.
See you later, everyone.